time once again for Sports Sidebar, covering sports for Northeast Ohio and sometimes even a little outside that area. Sports Sidebar, where we prove that a little knowledge is dangerous, but even less knowledge makes it a little easier to fill an hour. And now on to our hosts, Captain Bill and Dave. And good Tuesday afternoon, everyone, and it is a good Tuesday afternoon, especially if you're from southwestern Ohio. Down in the Cincinnati area.
Oh, there.
Yeah.
Oh, yes. I thought because the weather was a little bit better.
No, because they're Cincinnati Bearcats are in the...
Oh, they're the Bearcats. I thought they were just the Bears.
I think they're the Bearcats.
You're right. They're the Bearcats.
Yeah, right. And they are the first team that isn't a top five conference.
That's right.
To make it into...
Yes.
They're probably going to get their butts handed to them, but you never know.
Don't they play... They play Alabama first.
Yeah.
Hmm.
It's a toughie.
Yeah. Well, Alabama really took it to Georgia. And
that's
Georgia.
Why, you know, and technically you'd think that Georgia should have gone to number four. But they're not going to have the first pairing of Georgia against them, because that way they can play them again. I think they've each played each other twice this year. And Bama lost the first time, then they beat them for the championship.
Mm-hmm.
And that'd be the solid rematch and they'll be... Big ratings.
Well, I guess
Cincinnati's not going to be a big rating.
Well, first of all, Alabama plays Cincinnati, and you got to give kudos to Nick Saban. He says they deserve to be in.
Yes, he did.
Yeah, of course he's
going to. He feels like he's going to slaughter.
Well, yeah, but he's from Ohio. He's kind of
sure is.
I don't know if the people of Alabama know that. Since
well, if they did, they'd probably take a statue.
Oh, yeah. No. And. And they just really were impressive against Georgia. And I was expecting Georgia to – really, they were, I think, 3 or 4 point favorites over Alabama, and they didn't look good at all.
No.
I didn't see the Cincinnati-Houston game. Houston gave a tough battle for three quarters, but then Cincinnati took over. Lou Fickell, the former interim coach,
right.
Head coach.
He was a defensive coach and interim coach and – He is now the head.
I have to assume that Lou Fickell is going to be a prime candidate for a big job.
I'm sure he is, but right now, he's from Cincinnati.
Yes.
His kids are going to school there.
Yes.
And he has a lot of ties there. So my son seems to think at least while his kids are in school. I think his oldest just entered high school, I think.
Yes.
So as long as his kids are in school, he will probably stay with
Cincinnati. With all due respect.
Money talks, yeah.
Money talks. You can buy a nice... You could buy your own teacher.
You can. Especially when I saw a thing on Facebook, and a teacher explained was talking about a salary, and all of a sudden he said, equals $14 an hour.
Oh, yeah. The... where I lost my train of thought here for a second. But look, okay, Brian Kelly. You never leave Notre Dame. Nobody ever leaves Notre Dame. They usually leave Notre Dame dead or retire. Brian Kelly left Notre Dame.
Even before their bowl game, yeah.
Even before their bowl game, which I think was classless.
Well, he left Cincinnati that way.
Yeah, and took $100 million contract. $100 million for 10 years. I'll just figure that. That's $10 million a year for you.
Thank you.
So, to go down to Louisiana State University, LSU. Now, if Luke Fickell was offered that kind of money, kids, you're going to have to learn to get along with some new kids in your class, all right? Come on.
Yeah, Cincinnati could never pay that.
No. And... You know, I would hope that for that school's sake and the kids who gave it all for him, that he would stay. But I don't know. I don't know if there's Notre Dame's filled their position already. So he's
right.
He's
not going. Who's it? What's the California school?
USC.
USC. Yeah, they haven't filled yet.
Oh, I mean, those big schools have lots of money, lots and lots of money.
And they got time to figure out.
Everybody was kind of speculating when Brian Kelly left that Urban Meyer would be the guy.
Yeah, that's what they were saying. Yeah.
Now, and they didn't want any part of him. From what
I think, Urban Meyer is now out of his league. He's in college. He's in pros, and you can't. Beeline found out you can't treat your players in the pros like you do in college.
No, these guys are the cream of the crop. All these players who make NFL teams, from the first guy down to the 53rd guy. The 53rd guy was probably an all-star in his particular...
At least in the state.
Yeah, and now you got a whole bunch of these guys, and they're beyond the rah-rah stage. Yeah,
right,
they
right.
have to be inspired, of course, but they have to know the tactics that the coach wants to present in a way that, oh, if you don't do it, you're going to run laps. Are you kidding me?
Yeah.
I mean, come on.
That was one of the complaints that the team had is, stop teaching us like, treating us like college kids, because we're not.
No. And Beeline was way out of his league, and now they have
What a shame, because he had such an amazing run as a college coach.
He did, but he thought he'd give it a shot. And there's been limited success of college coaches going to the pros. There's the one guy, I forgot who it is doing all right, but... It's just tough, especially a guy who was as old as he was in his 60s, which is not horribly old, but it is for a head coach of a basketball. And he had a hard time relating to the players. And we've seen that before here.
Yes, yes.
LeBron couldn't get along with
anybody.
Anybody, really. I mean, because he looked at, what have you done compared to what I've done, right? Yeah. I don't know what he gets. I think he's getting along with his coach now. I don't know.
He has to have respect for him, and it just who's it, Brown? We had
just Brown.
And LeBron just, he'd call a little conference, during the game, and LeBron would go sit down and
Well, it was the other guy too. He didn't last very long either. The guy who coached for Israel and Turkey. What was his name? How soon we forget.
Yeah. Well, it's because we've seen so many of them.
And then who took his place? He was a former player.
Right. Lou. Oh, Lou.
Yes, Tyronn Lue.
Tyronn Lue, yeah.
And Tyronn Lue really didn't get along, I don't think, too much.
LeBron had more respect for him because he played on a championship team and he coached on a championship team. He wasn't the coach, but he coached on one. And so, therefore, LeBron had respect for that.
Mm-hmm.
Whether he respected the plays he was going to call or something, because LeBron is out there and basically wants to do what LeBron wants to do. I mean, he's got that kind of talent. Yeah. I mean, he is a generational player.
He is.
Nobody can, you can debate whether he's the greatest or not. I think when all is said and done, his number is going to show he shines in just about every single category.
Do you think
category.
He'll make the Hall of Fame?
I think if he stopped 5 years ago, he would have made the Hall of Fame.
Five, maybe even 10.
Maybe.
Yeah. Gosh, it's hard to believe he's going to be he's going to be 37 or 38 here soon.
Wow.
And he started when he was...
Well, he started when he was 18?
18 years he's been in the league.
Yeah.
And he's still performing magnificently. Yeah. We talk about a guy who takes care of his body.
Well, sure.
Yeah.
And he isn't hitting the Clark bars, that's for sure.
No, I don't think so. it was funny once that I read an article about Michael Jordan when he retired. Yeah, I'm going to take it easy. I'm going to grow a pot gut and all that. Well, he still looks tremendous.
Yeah, he does.
Yeah. I just think these guys have a lot of pride in themselves. And, some of them don't, but... Michael Jordan was phenomenal.
He was.
He was phenomenal. But LeBron's a little bigger and stronger. And I guess when they retire, you look down at all the...
You look at the numbers.
All the data. Yeah. And you can decide. I mean, some think Will Chamberlain was the best ever. But that was in a different era.
Well, not only was it a different era, but he was so much taller. He was so much, he was the big man. He was so much taller than everyone else. Yeah. He was like a man playing amongst boys. So it was a different game for him.
Well, he played against those Philadelphia Boston games back in the day.
Were sure.
Classics. And who was the other guy? He's still alive. The other big center. His name escapes me, too. A lot of names are escaping.
They are, man. What team?
He was with Boston.
Larry Bird?
No. Not Larry Bird was more the Magic Johnson era.
You're right.
They still have him comment from time to time. I just can't think of his name right off the top of my head.
It wasn't Irvin.
No.
He played.
It was.
Okay.
Jeez, what's his name?
Well, it'll come to you as we go along.
It will?
I'm sure.
I don't know.
And if it doesn't, then we will pretend like it did. How's that? We're pals.
Yeah.
But so we've got the top four. You've got Alabama, number one.
Alabama.
And number two.
Is Michigan.
Is Michigan. You know, these guys need to grow up. I mean, the coaches, because they were even babbling this week how great they are and this and that. This is the first time since 2004 they won the Big Ten.
It's the first, and the first time they've been in the college football playoffs.
Right. And they're acting like. They're acting like we've been here, you know, like they're the all get out.
Yeah, you have, you know, at the end of the game, at the Alabama Georgia game, they saw Nick Saban go around saying, "Cool it. You may play these guys again. Act like you've been there before."
Right.
And Michigan has never been there before, but they act like they have, and.
They're jabbering like they have.
But they've got to play Georgia, and that's going to be a really, really good game.
You know, and
Michigan.
Would you mind if I said that I hope they get their butts handed to them five times over?
Why would I mind?
I don't know. And I also will tell you I'm rooting for Cincy.
I don't think they have a prayer.
But I'm rooting for them.
I haven't seen the. I don't know if they have the odds. No, they just announced it last night.
They just announced it last night. I mean, Vegas has it, but we don't yet.
The Pony Express. I mean, the Pony Express. I mean, the Beacon Journal may have it in eventually.
2 days or 3 days from now, but yeah, but that isn't for another month anyway. So
yeah, they have a whole month. Well, when are they supposed to expand this?
Next year.
They go to 8 teams.
I think they go to 10 or 12.
Oh, good. Well, it gives these other than the Big Five conferences.
Right.
It seems like Cincinnati then would have the opportunity.
Cincinnati would have been there if this were next year anyway, yeah.
Yeah. And we'll see whether Lou Fickell will stay there. There are coaches who love the situation they're in.
Yeah.
I mean, the guy, Larry Karras for, you know, and Mount Union's.
Yes.
State. Now his son left. Of course, Mount Union's back in it again without a Karras running.
They get some of the best players that never got drafted anywhere or
scholarships. Yeah.
And they find other ways to help.
Oh, there are ways.
Yeah.
There are grants.
But anyway, you know, they get especially a lot of kids from Mogador and things like that. Smaller schools and stuff. And
they've had a couple out of the, not very often, but even Mount Union has had a couple go to the pros.
Yeah, not many.
Not many. It's just, even divisions.
They had that one quarterback that went, and I can't. Well, his mother was a in the Cuyahoga Falls post office, so that's kind of how I know about that. And I don't.
Was that Ballard? Jimmy?
Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
He tried.
He was there long enough, and he got to start enough, and on the team long enough, and starting enough, and been in teams long enough. He does have an NFL pension, so
wow.
Good for him.
Well, his dad plays in the Silver Lake softball team.
Oh, does he?
Randy.
Okay.
Bell. And he's.
Because you're playing down in Canton now.
Down in Willig Field.
Okay.
Not right now.
Not
kind of cold.
Yeah.
Today it would have been nice to get the ball up in the air, and it's
the wind would take it all over the place. Yeah.
No, we're indoor now. We're out there.
Not much wind indoor.
No, well, a lot of hot air. A lot of hot air with those guys. They're good guys, and they sure offer opinions on not so much politics, which everybody wants to stay away from, but. This Indians change name. I mean, that has gone over like a lead balloon.
Yeah.
It was surprising to hear some say, you know, the Chief Wahoo we could see as offensive.
Right, right.
But you've look at the Kansas City Chiefs game on Sunday night.
Yeah.
Kansas City was handily beating Denver. And the they're doing the tomahawk chop, you know, the chop, the and the Braves do the chop. And people are saying, why were the former Indian organization just...
Well, they were hounded by the league.
Yeah, but I don't. The Braves weren't hounded by the leagues.
No, they haven't.
Is it just because it was called the Indians? I mean, you got the Braves. You have other teams who, and I think the tomahawk chop. If I was a Native American,
I would find that offensive. More offensive than a name, not necessarily more offensive than what Wahoo. And even though Wahoo kind of cleaned up his game over the years in 48, he was unbelievable.
Oh, yeah.
He was unbelievably offensive.
Yes.
He was.
Yes. Well, back then it was.
There was no such thing as political
correctness. No, there wasn't. But still, I guess that irritates these. All these teams are, you know, the Braves, you have other teams that are affiliated, you have the Chiefs, and they're not getting rid of their name, but we had to get rid of ours.
Yeah.
And you're talking about older guys who change is hard for them to...
To process, begin with. I can still call Jacobs Field. It's been Progresso Soup Field for how long now?
Yeah. Flo has been there forever. Same thing. Well, and it was the Q, too, for many years.
Right, right.
Or the Gund Arena, which...
Which sounds like a disease, but okay.
Gund Arena.
Going to the Gund Arena. Why? Are you sick?
Getting back, I think Cincinnati, it's going to be hard to beat Alabama. I would imagine they're probably 12, 14 point at least underdogs, I would think. Talent that Nick Saban... I mean, that guy, he's just a machine.
Well,
he's got a recruit. They don't have to worry about recruits.
They don't. They turn recruits away.
I'm a five-star, and I'll come in and walk in, will you take me? I mean, that's how good Alabama has been. They've been in it for most of the time.
That's why all of them want to go there. And Ohio State does very much the same thing. And the two teams... The two college teams that have the most players drafted in the NFL are number one is Alabama, number two is Ohio State.
Yeah. Especially their line. They seem to have a lot of linemen in the NFL.
Mm-hmm.
You know, those are big guys. But, you know, that's just he's got that mystique now, and his coaches don't have to worry about recruiting that much. I mean, they come to them, and right. There's a lot of good players there.
Lou Fickell and his team are already out, recruiting.
Well, that's going to be a big plus.
Oh, absolutely.
I mean, you could take a chance at, okay, you're going to be second string at Ohio State, but you're going to be first string here with us.
Yeah.
And we're in the college football playoffs. So a kid has to consider that.
Especially with playoffs being expanded next year.
Yeah.
You know, you would look for Cincinnati to be a team that might come back, depending on how many seniors they lose.
Well, they seem to lose players every year because, you know, I don't know about Cincinnati's situation, but Alabama loses it, but they don't have to worry about it too much. They got these.
Yeah, it was like they all say Ohio State, they just reload every year. You know, mm-hmm. That's what Alabama does as well.
They were disappointing this year a little bit. You have to admit that.
Yes.
And
they're a much younger team than general they had.
Well, there's been criticism of Ohio State. Not much, but, you know, they're going to end up in a Rose Bowl, which is a nice
site. Not a bad job.
Yeah, but it doesn't mean anything. That's what I don't like about these college football. For years, I talk about, now, if you don't make the fourth.
And expand the
players. Who cares?
Next year.
They'll be in it.
They would still be in it.
Yeah, but who cares if they beat Utah in the Rose Bowl, other than pride of winning the game? I mean,
all those people in Pasadena care, right?
What?
All those people in Pasadena.
Oh yes.
They'd like to see that.
Yeah. They have. What do they do with all those roses if they didn't have that?
Yeah, but they would just, you know, they couldn't walk. They'd be all over the place.
All over the place.
Yeah.
Nothing worse than roses all over the place.
I'm telling you, they're slippery. They're slippery, yeah. Man. Slip sliding away.
Anyway, they're going to play Utah, and I guess that's... I may even look at it. I don't know. What Christmas is... New Year's is on,
New Year's, yeah.
On a Saturday, so... Yes. So... I don't know if the NFL will have any games. I think they do on Saturday. Probably. Starting, yeah.
Yes. Mostly right now when college football isn't going, I think that's when they...
Yeah, I think this is the last week that Army-Navy is kind of the end of the regular season. Navy usually beats Army all the time.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a traditional game.
It is. It is.
Big rivalry. They've been doing it for 100 and some years.
They have. Yeah. And not
of course, Ohio State and Michigan have been doing it for 106 years.
Yeah.
You were there at the very first one.
Very first one. And somebody told me it was going to be a rivalry someday. I said, nah,
this is
you're
not
crazy.
Going anywhere.
You're crazy.
Imagine they played back. They see those old films of them. No face guards at all.
Yeah.
And guys with crooked noses and no teeth. And, jeez.
They look 40 years old.
Yeah, and they're 19.
And they're 19. Yep.
It's driving me crazy who that Boston Celtic center was, that they had classic matchup. Can you look it up?
I will try to look that up. Yeah, yes, go along.
Wilt Chamberlain versus, tall man with a nice, he's got a white beard, and it's driving
Bill
me.
Bill Russell?
Bill Russell, yes. Okay. Yes. How could I figure out Bill?
I don't know. He was the one that did that AT&T commercial where he kept shooting the baskets like in his office.
Yeah.
And he was actually supposed to miss once in a while. Not everybody gets every time. He wouldn't miss. So if I was it, sometimes you just never miss, you know.
Never miss.
But that was an AT&T commercial, but yeah.
Yeah, Bill Russell and Wilt Chamberlain. Now, you're talking early, you know, 60s and so.
Yeah.
And
classic.
They were climbing. The Celtics won the most championships, I think, of any franchise. And I think Wilt Chamberlain didn't end up his career in L.A.
Red Barber? He was the coach?
Red Barber, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, anyway, it'll be interesting to see what happens to Lou Fickell. And, gosh, it's just the money out there now.
Oh, it's phenomenal.
$100 million for Brian Kelly. Whew.
What did he prove at Notre Dame? I guess he went to the playoffs, but he got his butt handed off in round one.
Yeah, let me see. They ended up what? Yeah, they have the 2-2-2-2. They were number five this year. I guess that's not chopped liver. It would have been interesting if Georgia would have beat Alabama, but Alabama
fell out of the top five.
I think Cincinnati would have been squeezed out, possibly. To have Alabama go to four, you can't eliminate Michigan or Georgia.
If Alabama would have lost. Yeah.
There were some scenarios some people thought that would squeeze Cincinnati
out. But we couldn't put Bama at four because then they'd have to play Georgia again right away. And they want that matchup for the national championship.
They could have made them number three. They would do anything.
Right.
They
would have been number three. You know, they couldn't be number one and it couldn't be number two. They could have made them number three.
I mean, even Alabama and Cincinnati's, I mean, people are going to root for the underdog in this.
Oh, yeah.
I don't think.
Except in Alabama.
Except for Alabama.
SEC forever.
Well, they're good. I mean, let's go with number. Okay, Alabama's number one, Michigan number two, and they had a good year. You can't discount that.
No, I can't.
But
it's not.
I don't like Jim Harbaugh.
I don't either.
He's not as classy as
his brother's far classier than he is. Yes.
Well, what a decision he made on Sunday. Did you see that?
No.
It was It was, what was the score of the game? Now, hold on here 1 second. Because it is worth mentioning. It was this afternoon game, and the Beacon wouldn't have that in here. So, anyways, it gets Pittsburgh. And I think it was either...
Oh, are you talking about the...
They went for
the Ravens, okay.
The Ravens. They went for... They could have tied the game at 13.
Right.
They were 13. The score was 13. They scored. It was 13-12. And they went for 2 points to win the game.
And they didn't
get it. I mean, it was an inch or two was the difference. I didn't understand, really. And Nancy and I were watching. I says, boy, that is a, I called it something else, but a gutsy move.
Yeah.
I just couldn't believe. Why wouldn't he tie it up and try to win it in overtime?
Yeah.
And he went for two. I don't, you know, pretty much everything went the Browns' way during the bye week. You had Cincinnati lose. You had Baltimore lose.
Right.
You had Las Vegas lose.
Are we in a division nobody wants to win?
I don't know. And then you get to play Baltimore. You have a chance to get right back in it.
Right. Yeah. If they can win this one, they're right back in it. And you know, the crazy thing is in the NFC, we'd be in line, strong in line for a probable playoff spot. Because in the AFC, there are only four teams under 500. In the NFC, there are 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. There are eight teams in the NFC under 500. And one whole division, Tampa Bay is 9-3. Carolina, Atlanta, and New Orleans are all 5-7. Under 500.
Yeah.
The Green Bay is 9-3, Minnesota 5-7, Chicago 4-8, Detroit 1-10-1. And just when you say Ben Roethlisberger can't do it anymore, then he turns around and beats the Ravens. Does it mean that we're all that equal, which is what we said, we're going to be beating up on each other at the end of the season?
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, it's well, first
that we're all, you know, and so you can't say the Browns suck because they can't beat someone in our division, or they beat them once, they can't beat them a second time, because this is, I mean, they used to call the one division black and blue. This is definitely a black and blue division this year.
Oh, everybody's saying this is the conference to watch, the AFC North.
Even though you're only going to have one person make the playoffs.
And
whoever can finally sneak out that win that's going to get you the conference, our division, that's the only team going.
Yeah, Cincinnati did not look well. Good.
That's after they turned around and run right over.
The Chargers beat them handily. Of course, Joe Burrow had a damaged hand.
Oh, I didn't realize that. Yeah,
at the second half. So then Joe, they had some problems, turnovers and things like that. I watched a little bit of that game as well. But we should have
beat the Ravens. We had. He had four interceptions. Yes, two of them were tipped. But we had four interceptions.
Yeah, he should have.
We didn't score any points off those four interceptions.
And Baltimore didn't look that great against Pittsburgh. Now, they played in Pittsburgh, and it was either, I think it was 14-13. They had, and then they went for the 2 points. It would have been 15-14, and that would have doomed Pittsburgh.
Didn't Pittsburgh get another three after that?
No, that was it. It was only 12 seconds left.
Okay.
So they went Pittsburgh won 14-13.
Oh, man. They risked everything on
that 2 points. I mean, I guess Harbaugh thought that even if he lost, he would still be in a good position. What else?
Which he is.
He's 8-4 and still ahead of the division. But I just thought, I couldn't believe he didn't go for this extra point and then try to win it in overtime. That
so
was
8-4, 7-5, 6-5-1, and 6-6.
I mean,
in our division,
if you lose, I mean, if you one play, you come down to one play versus having a chance to win in overtime, and their defense was doing pretty well against Roethlisberger. I mean, they kept them to 14 points, but they went for two. I just couldn't believe it. And Tony Romo said, go. That's what you should do. Ah, come on. That was good for TV, but it wasn't good for – I bet you yesterday and today, Baltimore fans are – of course, they would have loved it if they made it.
Yeah. He's a genius. He's a goat. I don't mean greatest of all time.
No, I just don't think he should have. I mean, personally, I just –
You know, and actually what it looks like is our Cincinnati has actually got better stats than everybody else. Mm-hmm. Baltimore, they have scored 22 more points than they've given up. Cincinnati has scored 64 more points mm-hmm. they've given up. Pittsburgh has given up 42 more points than they've scored. And Cleveland has given up 13 more points than they've scored, and we're 6-6, which means you win close, you lose close. But Baltimore, leading their, are they the? I want to say again, if we're all that even, all that tough, it's hard to say that. But are they the worst division leader in the NFC?
I would.
Because, I mean, there's only a couple games that they look like they've really totally blown somebody out. Yeah. The other games, they struggle to win.
They do.
But they win.
They win. Well, they were
they're
down.
They're making a season of winning ugly is
they
what they're doing.
They were down 14-7. And with like a minute, 30-some seconds left, and they march right down the field. I mean, this guy is amazing when he's on.
Well, he is.
Lamar Jackson. And they scored a touchdown. They just went right down the field, got the clock down to 12 seconds. So if they would have scored the extra point and tied the game, that would they
do a kickoff and that would have Ben would have never been back on the field.
No, so you would play the playoff. I mean the overtime and see what happens. I think your chances would have been pretty darn good the way they were ending the game, but he went for two and lost. So we'll see how that can affect the seeding and everything else. So, what are they? They're now 8-4.
8-4. Yeah.
And in New England's 8-4.
They're 5-1-0 home. They're 3-3 away. Now they're playing in Cleveland this week, right?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, they're playing home.
And you know what?
I guess he thinks that. Well, okay, 8-4. Tennessee's 8-4. They're now 8-4.
Yeah, but
Kansas City's 8-4.
But Tennessee's lost the last two in a row. Oh, Monday night the game. Yeah. I gotta watch that.
Buffalo and New England.
And that should
that'll be usually Monday night games either stiffs or playing or once in a while they get a good game.
This is gonna be a good game. Yeah.
Yeah, but getting just back to the, I'm just glad Cincinnati made it. It's just a good story.
It is great.
Lou Fickell who left and built the Cincinnati mm-hmm. team up now is in the top echelons of coaching, and good for him. I don't know why they didn't pick him to replace Urban.
Because Urban was a bigger name. Bigger donations.
Well, after Urban left, after Ryan Day got the job,
right? But he'd already left at that point.
Yeah, so
he was interim when Urban came, and then didn't. I think he even stayed on as defensive coordinator for a while.
Yeah,
for a season.
Yeah,
then left, and then went to Cincinnati and had the opportunity there.
Yeah, well, I wish them luck. I would love them to beat Alabama.
Yeah,
I would love.
It's not that they can't, but can they play the whole game? Because Bama has so much, like Ohio State, they have so much depth that Cincinnati is never going to have that much depth. Never. Ever, ever, ever.
It would be like the hockey team back in 80 or 84 beating the
Russia. Absolutely.
Russia at the time. It would be that kind of. I'll be interested. We'll know by next week what the odds are. But
yeah.
I would think at least two touchdown favorites. And Notre Dame picked Marcus Freeman to be their.
He was their defensive coordinator.
And
that's an interesting pick. I thought it is.
I thought
they have a choice for a lot of
top names. That's a premier job. Like I said, Urban Meyer rumored wanted that job badly would leave, and Jacksonville say, okay, go.
They would say that.
We're not going to stop you.
Please.
You know. But the incident, you know, Notre Dame being a, you know, Catholic school and goody two shoes and all that kind of stuff, they didn't like the fact that what happened at the bar and stuff. You can't bring, he had too much luggage.
Yeah.
Baggage. Whatever you want to call it. He probably has a lot.
He has a lot of luggage. He travels a lot, sure.
And then finally, the black hole of coaching. University of Akron. The black hole where coaches
That's because
that giant sucking sound.
That's because the powers that be an alumni expect them to win with what they have and what they've done. You know, Kent State is starting to build a winning program, and they're doing it by doing some winning, and it's easier to get recruits that, again, might have been offered a secondary or third or fourth string at one school would get the chance to start there. And now they were on a regular Kent State's last game. Was it last Saturday?
Yeah, they lost,
but it was on regular ESPN.
Yeah, they brought
you know,
it
not ESPNU or ESPN 327. It was on ESPN.
Well, 327 is where the Silver League is on.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry. I'm at 326. but you know, it just Kent State is working to improve, and they're doing it by proving themselves.
Yeah.
As a potential winner in their own division at the very least. And with the expansion, again, they had the 1 year they almost made, well, they made it up there. They made it to one of the bigger bowls. Mm-hmm. And had the playoffs been expanded at that point, they might have had an opportunity to make the playoffs. They would have been lower echelon and feeder.
But even, you know, even
in the bowl game, they got their hands, the butts handed to them, but.
But even so, I mean, the University of Akron football program has been just dismal.
They say they need a better program to match the facility they have. That was kind of their excuse for
the Rubber Bowl. It was not, nobody wanted to play in the Rubber Bowl, so they built a decent stadium and have really good indoor facilities. According to my brother, he's been through it several times, and he was a former coach there, not head coach, but assistant coach, and they just.
But they can't. Again, you need to have a certain amount of consistency to build any kind of program. I mean, isn't that what we've preached about the Browns for years and years and years?
Yeah.
Consistency that we've never had, which is why we could never have a winner.
Well, the
and they're
thing,
expecting one guy to come in and turn this around.
Well, they hired Joe Moorhead, who used to be an offensive or defensive coordinator here at one time. He was defensive coordinator at Oregon. So we'll see what this guy brings in. But it just seems like when they had Bowden here, that, you know, Bowden did have.
He had some good.
But then he went nuts. He was kind of, you know, he there was all kinds of different rumors about him.
Oh, really?
And then, you know, he lost interest really in coaching here, and he got the boot, and they brought Tom Off, who really didn't have a great record at the University of Tennessee at Chattanooga. And the guy was turned down a professional gig because he was friends of a coach who was in the pros to stay here. He should have taken the job because now he's out of it. Maybe he'll land somewhere. But
they do.
But the University of Akron really, really has to, you know, is it possible to be competitive here? And you are competing with the Notre Dames, the Ohio States, the Cincinnati's, the Pennsylvania schools, Kent State. Do you want to, I mean, they are a Division I school, and they really do have to consider whether maybe they should do something else.
Well,
I mean, I hate to see it.
I think when I was first at University of Akron, they weren't Division I yet.
No, they were. They were. They was like a Division I A at that time,
yeah,
or
yes.
Double A,
right?
And so now you got Moorhead come in. You have a new crop of coaches, and no consistency. I guess he has some talent on that team, but it's just a black hole of coaches. How many have they? I mean, really, how many coaches have they had? And how many athletic directors? You get an athletic director comes here, he stays 2 or 3 years, he has his guy, he leaves. Another athletic director comes in, he doesn't like the guy that was there, he gets rid of him. And you just got a consistent mess. A consistent mess there that nobody goes to see.
No.
Nobody goes. You may have
it's basically a commuter college. Yeah. And if you went there, yeah, they have living there on campus, but essentially it's a commuter college.
Like Cleveland State?
No.
It's like a Cleveland State.
Yes, yes.
An urban college that, very good school, but it just have, you know, when they just really have not been able to have a consistent football program here. And their facilities are decent. They're not Ohio State decent. They're not Michigan.
No.
They don't have a full-time dietitian or all that kind of stuff. They don't have the money that these big schools have, but they do offer scholarships, and that's important. But I don't know. I just it's just I call it the black hole, the giant sucking sound. You go to Akron U, and you're gone in a couple of years, and nobody knows whatever happened to you.
Yeah, yeah.
So it's just a shame. But they got a new coach. Good luck to him. Good luck, buddy.
We were always rooting for them, but, you know.
But they're not even – we don't even discuss it here because they're so bad. They won 2 games, which is better than
– not winning any.
Any. I mean, they haven't won in 2 years before that. I mean, the guy's record is like – Tom Arthur was 2-50-something. It was 2-30 or something. It was ridiculous how bad they were under him. And you go, even the students are not even interested. At least they go to the basketball games.
Well, because they're competitive.
Yeah. And that coach has done a good job here.
He's amazing rebuilding the team back up. Because, you know, when the last coach left, several players went with him, and his coaches went with him. And how's he doing down there?
In Carnegie?
Is that where he's at?
Mellon. Mellon. Is what?
No.
It's Carnegie.
Is that where he went?
Yeah, he went to Carnegie. Yeah, in Pittsburgh. Okay. And give him $1 million a year.
How's he doing?
I don't know.
Never heard about him again. The black hole!
No, I think he's done all right. I don't... who was that guy?
Dembrot.
Dembrot. Keith Dembrot.
Yes.
Thank you for helping with
that. You got rough, man, I gotta get rough on the names today, man.
Focus factor.
You got to get taking those fish pills, man.
I do take fish pills.
Oh, do you? Okay. Yeah.
Gills?
Take some more. Yeah, I know. I thought that was to go along with your nuclear power.
You know, after I turned 50, things have really deteriorated. It's just terrible. Loof. Keith Dambrot.
Yes.
Yes. Good old Keith.
Good old Keith.
I don't know how he's doing there.
And boy, he really turned University of Akron into quite a program.
Oh, he did. He had a great program. And as Gracie is the coach now, and I think it's Bob Gracie.
Bob Gracie was the quarterback for the Miami Dolphins way back. No,
Gracie. This is Gracie.
Oh, Gracie.
Gracie. Oh, okay. I think that's the guy's name. Again, we don't follow college basketball that.
So we don't follow a lot of Akron U.
Anyway, we'll see. We'll see. I'm just glad that, but. Getting back to pro football, we're not out of it. You know, even Marla last week says Browns playoff hopes doomed. That's the headlines.
We're doomed. We're at 6-6. He might say, "Well, we got to win." I says, "Not if our division just beats up on each other."
Well, Baltimore losing,
yes,
helped.
Yes.
Cincinnati losing has helped. Pittsburgh winning didn't help. But
didn't help, right.
So even if they...
Because if Pittsburgh lost, at least we'd be out of last place.
Yeah. I think if they... Well, they had a bye week, so everybody will be on the same amount of games.
Right.
And Baltimore's a Jekyll and Hyde team. If they come out in Cleveland and trounce, I don't know.
Here's a question I have for you.
You have a question.
I have a question for you. Seems like every game... We come out the first series and run right down and get a touchdown.
It seems like that.
It does seem like that.
It does seem like that.
and then we struggled to ever get another touchdown.
Well, they
why is it we can be so prepared for the first series and not for the rest of the game?
Well, the other team adjusts. Sometimes they just take a while to get going. And, I mean, certainly against New England, they march right down the field. That was the last score they think they had.
Yeah, that was the last score they had.
And I don't know. Baker Mayfield's a big question mark, whether or not this bye week is going to help
him. It's been awful quiet on their front, hasn't it?
It's been very quiet. They've had meetings. I've heard that's what they've been doing. They've been meeting. They're going to see what they have done well and make it better. That's Stefanski's words, not mine. And the things that we're not doing so well, we're going to improve. Well, that's prophetic, isn't it? I mean, come on. Of course you're going to say something like that. So they've had defensive meetings, offensive meetings, special teams meetings. Meetings are fine, but you still have to execute on the field. And Baltimore's going to be – they got stung at Pittsburgh. And you have an opportunity to get right back in it if you beat them.
Right.
And
because you're one game behind.
But Baker Mayfield, I mean, one of the guys, also Baltimore lost Humphrey, which was one of their best defensive players.
Mm.
That Hubert. Hubert's been.
Hubert, yeah.
Yeah. Good man, that Hubert Humphrey.
Nice guy.
I got to meet him once.
Did you?
Yes. I was only two.
Oh, I see. I actually saw him when one of my visits, and we got to visit the Senate chambers. I got to look over, and there he was, the old warrior.
You know, that it's amazing going to D.C. and seeing both of those chambers. They're not that big.
No.
They're not. You think, oh, my gosh, it's like a huge. No, it's just, well, there's only 100 of them in the Senate.
That's why when they ever have a dual address, they have to go to the House where there's more seats, but they're squeezing everybody together anyway.
It's not that big, but it's impressive. Did you get to see the old Senate chambers? In the Capitol, they have an old Senate meeting room, and it was.
I'm not sure. Actually,
they only had set 20 at the time.
It was
interesting too. It's just the acoustics there are because used to be the House of Representatives had offices in. Right in the rotunda back in John Quincy Adams, they could whisper. You whisper and you could hear everything.
Yeah.
And, of course, that's the only president John Quincy Adams, who lost an election and then went back to the House of Representatives.
Yeah. That's where he died. Somebody else said, where else would you find John Quincy but at his desk?
Yeah.
And that's where he died.
Good old Quincy.
Good old John Quincy, who was just as strongly opinionated as his father.
Yes.
Yes. And just about as much disliked in many ways.
Yeah, well, ask Andrew Jackson that. He lost to them the first time, but not the second time. So, anyway. So the Browns had pretty much a good week, even though they didn't play.
Right. And get them a chance to lick their wounds. And hopefully.
Well, I hope they didn't lick their wounds. My gosh. Well,
it's just a term. It's a term.
And I thought you meant it literally.
No. Not unless you're a dog or a cat. No.
Well, there must be medicinal purposes in a lick.
It keeps the dirt out, I guess.
Well, I don't know. When a dog when a dog has a wound, they lick it. I mean, nature has given them some reason to do that. We don't do that. Well, maybe we used to back in the day.
Next time we get a cut, I'll get some dog spit or something and rub it in.
Or better at, just lick it. That's disgusting, but, especially the coffee after whatever you put.
Hey, this is good coffee.
I'm talking about all the stuff you put in it afterwards.
Oh, well, about that, yeah.
But it's... At least we're still in it. 6-6 is not out of it. I think
it's not.
I think Marla went overboard, assuming that I think Baltimore is just going to take off, and they haven't. They could have. That still blows my mind. They could have been 9-3, possibly if they went into and they get Pittsburgh.
I did not expect Pittsburgh to play with them as they did.
Yeah,
but they didn't beat them by much. But they beat them.
They beat them. Doesn't matter by 1 or 30.
That team has had more ugly wins than we have.
Yeah. Yeah. But it's going to be tough in the AFC, even if the Browns somehow make it to the playoff. You've got some really good teams. Kansas City now seems to have found their mojo. They were just destroying
Buffalo the woke back up again.
Buffalo woke up again. New England is...
I think even Miami's won what? They've won their last five in a row.
Yeah. So
they're at 6-7, but they've won their last five in a row. So
my sister's excited about
it. I bet she is.
And you know, but 6-7 is going to be tough in the AFC.
It is.
It's going to be it for is. Miami. That is. The Jets are out of it. You got you got a lot of people, a lot of teams above the Browns right now. You've got New England, Buffalo. You've got Tennessee and Indianapolis. You've got Baltimore, Cincinnati, and Pittsburgh, technically.
Because of their time.
Yeah. You've got Kansas City, L.A. Now Denver is 6-6, and so is Las Vegas, 6-6. I mean, there's a lot of teams that they're even with or below.
L.A. started off really balls of fire, then one game after after the coach resigned.
You mean Las Vegas?
Yeah.
You said L.A.
Oh, no, I say L.A. I'm sorry, yeah, Las Vegas. They basically fell apart.
Yeah, well, that was... They've won some games, I think one or two since he's been gone, but that's a huge disruption. I mean, it's just,
absolutely. Yeah. Hey, we've got a few minutes left.
We do.
We do.
Yes.
Will there be baseball?
I don't know.
They're the baseball, the owners locked out. They did all these wheeling and dealing 2 weeks before the end of the season.
$1.7 billion worth of deals before midnight December the 2nd, I think it was. Anyway, now for those who don't know, when workers stop working, at the end of it, that's called a strike.
Right.
When the employer doesn't allow the workers to work, that's called a lockout.
Right.
So it's not the players doing this. It's the owners. Because of a lack of progress, which is to me just rubbing salt in the wounds. I mean, you would assume that they would bargain until they could reach an impasse and then lock out or something like that. But you create a situation of animosity when you lock out. I mean, it's just ridiculous.
I think they felt because last year they had the big problem that there was a strike. They came in the summer, which ruined the World Series.
Back in 90.
And the playoffs.
Back 20-some years ago.
And that was their cash cow. Well, the playoffs.
Yeah,
they didn't want that to happen. So they said, let's do this before even spring training and see if we can force them into a corner to do it. And
but that's a couple of months away. I mean, they could have negotiated it to spring training.
But
through spring training and then lock them out.
But they haven't negotiated.
No, because the players have given up things. They want some of that back. They want arbitration to be reduced. They want a bigger minimum for players. It's the lowest minimum in all major league sports, hockey included. Now that's $500,000 plus to make a team, and that's a lot of money to us. That's compared to almost $1.2 or $1.3 million minimum salary in football, $800,000 minimum salary in basketball. Hockey's up there, $750,000, $800,000. So they're the lowest. You hear about these huge contracts, but that's only a small percentage of them.
Right,
you know, and there's other things, too. And they say, well, if the players get what they want, the small markets will really suffer. Well, that's what bargaining is about. You bargain until you can't reach a compromise, and it's hard to say. It's almost like a nuclear option. When the players go on strike, things are bad.
Right.
And things are bad when the owners. I never confronted.
I mean, you were a negotiator.
Yeah, I've never.
You was a union negotiator.
Yeah, I never confronted a lockout, never. And in most agreements are settled without a strike or anything. On occasions, you have to do it. Because what happens in bargaining is that the baseball union did give things up years ago. And now they want some of those givebacks back.
They want some for an older player, earlier eligibility for free agency.
Yeah, that kind of stuff.
It doesn't seem like it's all that much.
No, but to the
to
owners.
Be honest with you, it doesn't seem. The only thing is, it seems like the owners don't want anything to change, except they want to expand the playoffs.
Yeah.
Because they make more money in the playoffs.
And the relationship, from what I read in articles, is that the. Between the players and the owners are the worst it has been since the strike many years ago, 24 years ago. So things aren't looking good. And the players just don't want to they want some of the things that they've given up in the past back. And believe me, once you negotiate things away, it's extremely difficult, even in good times, to get them back. And that's what they're confronting. So we'll have to wait and see. But I think, to answer your question, yes, I think spring training's in jeopardy. I think the season, at least part of it, is in jeopardy.
The season beginning is in jeopardy.
Yeah.
Okay, we don't need baseball in March anyway, as far as the regular season starting.
Well, it's just, you know, it's the harbinger of spring and summer, and everybody looks forward to it.
No, I'm not worried about spring training. I'm worried about, you know, spring is cold.
I understand.
Starting the season
in March,
in the end of March. Come on.
Yeah, I know. But it's going to be very, very difficult to reach an agreement.
But the thing is, it just seems like the things that baseball wants, from what I've seen, and I'm not for the millionaires or the billionaires, okay? Because those are just numbers to you and I.
Yeah.
Okay? But for me, it doesn't seem like what the baseball players want is really that much that you have to close down everything.
That's true. I think, and of course, you're talking,
unless
you talk luxury.
Things are saying we're not going to go any other than this, and the owner's saying we're not going to do anything more than this.
What the owners want ultimately is a salary cap. Baseball is the last sport without a salary cap. There is a luxury tax if you go
Big market teams don't want that, so you never get them to agree on it.
Well, there's a luxury.
You won't get Chicago. You won't get LA, any of the LAs. You won't get Boston. You won't get.
But
New
they
York.
Want a salary cap. The owners want a salary cap.
Okay.
They do.
I find it hard to believe, but okay.
Yeah.
A salary cap, yeah.
Yeah, okay. A salary cap. Yeah. So, and right now they have a luxury tax, which is a team like New York will spend $300 million on a team, and that luxury tax is nothing to them. Nothing.
Yeah.
Because it's a lucrative market. And that's what ultimately the owners want. And they'll never get it with the Baseball Players Association. Max Scherzer is one of the leading negotiators, and he doesn't sound very optimistic, too. I don't know. I'm not.
I mean, if that's what they're trying to fight for right now, they're not going to get it, or maybe ever. But it would be, would that be more fair? That would be certainly more fair to the mid-market teams.
To have a salary cap?
Yeah.
Perhaps. But the players won't agree to it.
The players don't want to agree to it. And to be honest with you, I'd be surprised if you could get New York to agree to it. Although, if they can't spend the money, they just put more in their pockets. So.
Yeah, yeah. Well, basketball has it. Football has it. Hockey has it. And you know, the most like a LeBron James can make is based on an agreement. I mean, he can make up to $40 million or something, which is not bad.
Not bad, huh?
But he makes quadruple that much in sponsorships that he does.
Yep.
But not all players are like that. But you can make a darn good living as a kicker in the NFL because you're going to be paid at least $1.5 million a year.
Or a backup quarterback.
Hey,
oh. What do we got? We got a pun?
Oh, we short.
Did you do your homework?
I did.
Okay.
Doesn't mean it's any good.
Well, okay. We'll see.
What do you say to a hitchhiker with just one leg?
I don't know.
Hop in!
No! That's it. We'll be back next week with more sports from Sports Sidebar.